This is the Friday, July 20th, 2018 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us now is Sue Martin. Sue, welcome back.
Thank you.
So we didn't get to talk about cotton or hogs during the main program, so I want to make sure we get those in. Before we get to our social media questions, let's talk about cotton first. Why did we see cotton lose so much this week?
Well, I thought it was interesting because here we are with a forecast of some of the hottest weather in Texas, and yet the market went down. And I think it's kind of one of those weather markets that has priced in, kind of like our corn market, you know, the hottest day, the day after the 4th of July, and the market goes down instead of up. I think that part of it also could be tied back to tariffs. Mm-hmm. And also cotton acres were up this year aggressively. So I think it's the mix of all of that. Cotton is also an oil seed. And because of that, oilseed production looks like it's going to be up pretty good this year. Stocks are rising, especially in the soybean oil. And Malaysian palm oil stocks are increasing there, and it's in decline. And so because of that, we've also seen India out of our market. So I think that's weighing on cotton in another direction also. I think that cotton probably should be hedged here. On any little rally we get, I think it should be hedged. Granted, if you're a producer in Texas, it's probably hard to do that right now.
Yeah, definitely it is. Let's talk about hogs. With everything that's been going on, tariff, et cetera, what position would you be looking to take right now in the hog markets?
I'd buy it.
Okay.
I'd buy the hogs. I think that, one, weights are dropping. You have a cash index, hog index, that is running about $12. I think at one time on Friday it was $12.70 over the board, August futures. So I would be buying it. In fact, I'd be buying out-of-the-money calls. They're very cheap, very cheap. And also, exports are starting to pick up.
They are.
Yeah, and demand for pork seems to be increasing. So I would be of the opinion, I know we follow some indicators that are all looking positive for, about to turn positive for hogs. So I think I'd be buying the August hogs because you have too wide of a basis spread from the futures to the cash index. And we've seen that in cattle, and it tends to narrow in. And so even if the futures go up some and cash index comes down, I think you could easily get back to 71, 72.
Would you just be looking to buy the August contract?
I tend to like the August the best, and I would probably use that rally at some point to possibly, maybe it'll take us into September, but I would probably use that rally then to go back after the short side of December. This fourth quarter is going to be an interesting time. Mm-hmm. I'm fearing that we're going to have a boatload of protein around between poultry and pork and beef.
Flooding the domestic market.
That's right.
Yeah. Sue, I wanted to ask about a statement that you've made in a previous program. You said in another market episode when we had you on, corn was heading to 425, and obviously that's not the case now. Why were you saying that at the time?
Well, futures had hit 429, and we've had the December contract there three times now in the life of that contract since it came on the board, the 2018 contract. Corn has huge demand base underneath it. Now, at the time I was on, I think it was on for Memorial Weekend, and in our market letter, we did alert subscribers that there could be some timing for a high around the 29th of May, but I really thought the true highs would be around June 10th to the 18th, somewhere in there.
Prior to all the tariff stuff that happened.
Yeah. And so I guess I, you know, when I was asked, would you be selling cash corn here? Yes. I had to hesitate. I know I hesitated for quite a while. But I also said, be sure to have retain some ownership. My fear is that at some point here, producers are going to get caught selling in the hole and then no protection to the upside. So we've been really suggesting if you sell grain, get some calls bought. Probably you need to be out into 2019 because we're going to need the time. But I do think the corn has a very bullish demand base. It's just getting through this movement that we're in. I don't see a much lower low than what we've been into, but I just think it's all forming this bottom and then getting up through the recent major highs, which would be 374, something like that.
Exactly. That'll be a great springboard here for the next question. I'm going to take a social media question here from Glenn Newcomer. With the price movement, is it safe to say that we've established a floor for beans? If not, why?
Well, I do think we've got kind of a floor established. We do wave counts, and they're not Elliott wave. And we hit a wave five, and wave fives are very rare. I'm not sure I've ever seen one in beans. I remember cattle about 2 years ago, but we hit a wave five. And so the market has stabilized against that. What might happen is we might turn around, push back down, take a look at it, because beans really don't have near the bullish fundamental base under it that what corn has. And so I think beans could turn around, come back down, take a look at it. Here's an interesting thing. I went back and I noticed sometimes years will mirror other years of market behavior. And the bean market seems to be following the pattern of 1978. In 1978, November beans put a high in on a low on January 17th. This year it was January 12th. That year it put a high in on May 30th, which felt like it should be the high for the year, appeared like it. And this year it was May 29th. That year we fell into about the same time this week and turned around, got a rally into about the 25th. So we'll see, do we rally into the 23rd?
How much of a rally are we talking?
It wasn't a super big rally, but it was a corrective rally, which is kind of like what we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. Then the market turned and it broke back down into August 8th. I have cycle window timing for August 7th. Will the market keep this pattern going? It might. And the interesting thing about that year, after it had that break, it turned around on August 7th, started up, not real fast, and all of a sudden it was moving to new highs for the year by October 30th.
Okay, so watching around that harvest timing.
Yeah.
Okay.
It may be that we do a counter here, and of course, we still have a lot of growing season left.
We do, absolutely. Weather's definitely going to be a factor there. An interesting question came in this week as we were talking about all the things going on, kind of on the fundamental side. We had a question about lab-grown or cultured meat. Lexi Friend said, with lab-grown or cultured meat gaining momentum, what will be the repercussions for the protein industry, and will these synthetic products become competitive to those normal proteins on the market?
I think it'll compete a little bit against, possibly it could compete against hamburger. It could also compete against poultry a little bit. But I wonder if it won't find more of a niche in with people who are vegetarian only because they don't want to eat meat because of environmental protection and
humane
animals.
Stuff,
yes,
yeah.
Humane. I wonder if that won't be more of a niche for them. But also, you know, in place of veggie burgers and what have you, it may take on a presence there. I have to say, lab-grown meat just doesn't sound very palatable.
No, it doesn't. I agree.
So I have to, you know, so I wonder about that. It may also be a product, if they can get it priced right, they might be able to send it into third world countries. But that's probably a long stretch for a while. The other thing is they're going to have to do a fabulous marketing blitz to get that one going.
Probably not call it cultured meat or lab-grown dish meat, something like that.
Yeah, they need to find a different name.
Yeah.
Something catchy but different.
Absolutely. Well, interesting thoughts there, Sue. Let's take just one more question here from social media. Tim Default says he still has about 20% of his old crop and 10% of his beans. Old crop wheat and 10% of his beans. If he needs some cash flow for expenses, what are some options he and other producers have?
And that would have to be old crop that he's talked about. Mm-hmm. I would say take advantage of this rally that we're getting and market it. And you don't want to wait too long on this, especially if it was corn, I would say especially. Beans, I think there is kind of a niche. The processors seem to keep pulling for beans. So there's good demand, I think, for the crush for soy meal. But I would say go ahead and try to move it on this rally because I do think we're going to catch one more step down. Now, that said, if we rally into August, contrary to what I'm looking for, that may be a kiss of death that it prolongs our break into more fall, like October, November, something like that. You know, a year ago, corn put its lows in December for last year. And I don't think we have that. And I do not think this is a year where we put lows in at the end of August, early September. I think the lows are going to come just a little bit sooner, or that's what I would really like to see. For corn, my one concern, and I am hearing that corn has really been moving out in the countryside. I hear it in other states, too. But and that's good. But if a person's hanging on to okra corn and they hold it too long into August or early and are trying to get rid of it in September,
when
you know, other years, other years, there's a market for corn in September, and that contract can go old crop, new crop. This year, it may be a new crop contract, and that could kind of hit them hard because of the old crop or the new crop harvest coming on sooner than you think.
Absolutely. Well, Sue Martin, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Join us again next week when we look at new uses for the next generation of cover crops, and Mark Gold will sit across from me at the Market to Market table. Until then, thanks for watching, listening, or reading. I'm Delaney Howell. Have a great week.